there. Look what happened. Is this crazy? But it's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president. And every citizen, I will fight for you, for your family, and your future. Every single day, I will be fighting for you, and with every breath in my body. I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve.
A historic win last night, and I think the results are coming in still. Because I know that they're going to be fighting over some of this for looking out in California, some of the House seats, rather. But it was pretty evident, I think, by like 9 o'clock. I was looking at this and I'm like, this is going to be determined. I thought by like, you know, I'm like, it's like over at 9:30. It's like over from, it was like over at 9:30 because you could start to see the winds developing. You could see these counties. There were a number of counties. We're going to get into all these details. Flip. I mean, it's pretty amazing to watch this stuff and to watch it happen live. I was at a couple of different things. I was at the my congressperson's election watch, and the room went from being one of, you know, super nervous to people started getting really, really excited, especially after we took the Senate. After we took the Senate, that was pretty monumental. But this was a mandate. It was a mandate that was given last night, a huge historic victory. I think maybe not since, what, maybe 1988? No, a victory of this size was 1988, not 2004. 1988. Not since then have we seen something like this. It was that widespread, that many seats. It was incredibly stunning. And we're going to break down today how that happened. Because the Republican Party has changed. The Democrat Party has changed too. Not for the better, though. Democrats are getting ready to undergo their own political inter-party civil war, the likes of which, you know, it's going to be very difficult for their side. They are getting ready to go through a stunning civil war. And they have to decide what their future is, because clearly it's not leading the nation right now. It's not the working man. It's not Hispanics. It's not Black Americans either. I mean, they lost in so many different demographics. It's stunning. And we're going to go through all of that and discuss what that means ultimately for the Republican Party, because the GOP is making some major, major gains. So it was a very good night, but it also means it's a night of major responsibility that the GOP has now assumed. Are they going to be able to hold on to it? Because they got to work fast. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. And it's post-election. I hope you all feel, you know, pretty good about it. I'm on like 4 hours of sleep right now. I'm exhausted. You can tell it in my voice. We're going to go through all of this stuff together. Welcome to the radio program. If you're expecting me to look at the camera at Fox, well, this isn't Fox. It's a radio program. You're watching the simulcast of it on the first. So first and foremost, this was a great... I was shocked when I saw... I told you that we could go up to 55 with the Senate, didn't I?
Yeah.
I told you that. And I said we were at least going to clinch 51. Major, major wins. And in looking at the map, there were a ton of counties that were flipped. The blue wall collapsed for the third time ever. Kamala Harris is expected to deliver, finally, a concession speech at 6 o'clock today, which I think is so incredibly lame. She's doing this concession speech at 6 o'clock tonight, a full day after this. So I don't know if she's drunk. I don't know what it was. I thought it was incredibly empowering that, you know, she, Madam President, this Madam Vice President, this woman who spent a whole campaign talking about sexism, decided to send the man out. Her campaign co-chair decides to send her campaign co-chair out to go and tell everyone at the university that she attended, that she was going to speak at, that she wasn't going to, that she wasn't going to be there. She wasn't going to show up. She wasn't going to speak. She wasn't going to speak. That's what. So she's not going to give a, she's not going to concede until like what, 6 o'clock tonight. She ducked her supporters. Cedric Richmond was the guy that she sent out to tell everyone, nope, she's not going to be out tonight, everybody. She's not going to be out tonight. She's, she didn't show up. They didn't see her at all. I don't know if we had audio of this. 20. Yeah, okay, yeah, play. Thank you, thank you. Here it is. 20,000, please. Audio sent by 20,000,000. Thank you. This is Cedric Richmond. Should be. We got audio.
But you will hear from her tomorrow. She will be back here tomorrow to address not only the HU family, not only to address her supporters, but to address the nation.
But wait a minute. How lame is that? You send a man out to go and deliver your remarks, right? You send the man out. You can't even go out yourself. You send the man out to say, no, 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 the woman's not coming out. So she's going to be speaking. She was at Howard University. She's going to be apparently giving her concession speech. And it was just, she ducked her supporters. I would too. Trump was so, the victories for red were such that there was even, they took a vote in Maine even. It was wild. Absolutely wild. I'm going to get into some of the notables here because there are quite a lot. If you are with the newsletter, I wrote something last night when I got back in front of my laptop because there was a lot of stuff to look at because there were so many things that changed, that shifted. Rio Grande Valley, where our affiliate is, KURV down there, was a predominantly Hispanic area, and it went predominantly red. It's pretty unbelievable the stuff that we saw with this. For instance, in Starr County, Texas, which is the most Hispanic county in the United States at 97%. Trump won it by 16 points. The last time that Starr County, Texas went Republican was in 1892. 1892 was the last time that it went Republican. Unbelievable. He also won North Carolina. In North Carolina, 40% of Anson County are Black Americans. And Trump flipped that county. This is what I'm talking about. These are some pretty stunning statistics that are coming in. I don't know how you are a Democrat Party and you overcome some of this stuff. Furthermore, now I want to point this out to you. The turnout for Republicans, insanely, was pretty much, it was only a 3 million difference from 2020. So in 2020, you had 74.2 million votes for Trump. 2024, it was 71.4 million votes. It was actually down from 2020. But here's the difference. Where did Democrats go? Where did the Democrats go? Because in 2020, Joe Biden took 81.2 million votes. 2024, it was like, what, maybe almost 67 million? Where did they go? And the weird thing is you can't argue. Not all of them flipped to become Republicans. They stayed home. Democrat turnout, I think it was, they're not talking about it right now because they don't want to admit this. That was at a record low last night. Remember how we were talking about early voting? And how, especially with regard to early voting, you have different like Philly. They were wondering whether or not It was going to be same day voting. Everybody was going to go on same day voting because early voting was down. Whoo boy! I mean, this is stunning. Some stunning stuff. It's pretty amazing. So we're going to get into all of this as we roll towards throughout this program, because I have a whole list of notables like this. That's incredibly significant. He nearly doubled his support of Hispanic Americans from what he ran on from what happened in 2020. So that's huge. From what happened in 2020, about doubled the support. That's super significant. So this, coupled with urban support, Black Americans, and even he did about the same with women. But that's the other thing. Women weren't showing up. There were a lot of women that just didn't show up to vote as much for Democrats as they did in 2020. Democrats stayed home, man. They stayed home. So part of me wants to say the red wave happened. But also there was like a blue absence. It's pretty amazing. The blue absence allowed for a red wave. And the reactions to this, it's unbelievable. They don't know what to do. They have no idea how to handle this. They do not know how in the world. You had Joy Reid, who was blaming white women. Where's she at on here? I'm looking at it. It was Joy Reid. She had she was blaming white women for not standing up to the patriarchy. She said that she was going off. She said that she was specifically talking about North Carolina. She said that it was white women that didn't stand up to the patriarchy. And she's like, we got to be blunt about why. And that's what happened. She says Black voters came through for Kamala Harris. White women voters did not. She says that's what appears happened in that state, talking about North Carolina. So she says North Carolina went to Trump because white women lost it for all of them. Oh, for the love. She said, quote, this will be the second opportunity that white women in this country have had to change the way that they interact with the patriarchy. That's what she said. She's losing it. We have more on the way. We got headlines to get into. And coming up, we're going to go through a handful of notables. We're going to get into the Senate because the Senate majority is big. I was projecting minimum of 51. We definitely overperformed that. We're going to get into that. We're also going to discuss the state of the House. We're going to talk about what Trump needs to do immediately, right when he gets into the White House, like immediately, all gas, no brake. We're also going to talk about some of these other abortion amendments. The amendments 3 and 4 in Florida failed. So that was great. And also 3 million overnight ballots, how it saved one Republican. We're going to get into all of that. The generation that saved America. All of that and so much more. I have more information than you can shake a stick at today. It's going to be a very, very fun program. You don't want to miss as we move towards headlines in the bottom of this first hour. ReadyWise is always ready, even if you aren't. ReadyWise is premium survival food, and it's incredibly important to take charge of your safety and well-being. And where it comes in with ReadyWise is just the best tasting, the best prepared, all of it, all around survival food that's out there. They have a 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get your breakfast, drinks, all of it. It's perfect for crises and beyond. 25-year shelf life as well. They're ready when you're not. And it all comes U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant sent out from that same plant. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So even though we had the big major election, there's still some other headlines happening, including... So this is an interesting survey. Trouble sleeping could actually cause your brain to age faster than normal. It's really? I mean, I know it's unhealthy if you don't get sleep. Like, you definitely should get sleep. But they said that if you have trouble sleeping, it could be a red flag for poor brain health in middle age. Researchers with the American Academy of Neurology found issues while falling asleep and staying asleep. They were both associated with signs of brain aging. And so they said that it could actually put people at risk, higher risk, rather, for dementia. That's kind of cool. North Korean troops accidentally gunned down their own Russian comrades after shooting in the wrong direction. Is this the Lucas Kuntz, Adam Kinzinger? Did they train with them? I'm curious. North Korean troops, they accidentally, quote-unquote, gunned down their own Russian comrades. They shot in the wrong direction. It's the latest. Because they brought North Korean troops in to aid Putin in Ukraine, and that happened. I mean, who are they working with now? I'm like, who is North Korea? Whose side are they? It's interesting. The world's first wood-paneled satellite was launched into space. I'm trying to understand what in the 70s hell this is. It was made by, it's a tiny little bitsy thing, and it's made by researchers in Japan, and they hurtled it into space towards, on a SpaceX mission. It's headed for the ISS on a SpaceX mission, and then they're going to release it into orbit above the Earth. It's called Lignosat, after the Latin word for wood. So the panels have been built from a type of magnolia tree. They used a traditional technique without screws or glue. Is there? Why? Like, why? I don't understand. Yeah, researchers at Kyoto University who developed it said they hope it's possible in the future to replace some metals used in space exploration with wood. They said it's more durable in space than on Earth because there's no water or oxygen that would rot or inflame it. And they said that early 1900s airplanes were made of wood. A wood satellite should be feasible too. If you had to go into space in a wood satellite or not a wood satellite, what would you pick?
Not a wood satellite.
Me too. I'm thinking the same thing. Like on a little wood rock. I don't know. Capitol Police arrested a dude yesterday carrying a torch and a flare gun who smelled like fuel. Of course, he was a like pro-Gaza guy. He was one of those Gaza and Hamas lovers. So they actually had to close their Capitol Visitor Center. They said that he had a torch and a flare gun and smelled like fuel. Yeah, that sounds, looks sus, man. And outrage over Peanut the Squirrel's death has sparked bomb threats. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what did you think was going to happen when you raided a guy's house and killed his pet squirrel? I'm just saying, we got a lot more on the way. Who saved America? Gen X. Byrna is your non-firearm firearm. And Byrna gun, it's all about making sure that you can still stay safe and remain safe and, well, because you're not able to carry everywhere, and that's kind of an issue. I have friends that live and work in D.C., and they've gotten, one of my friends in D.C. got a Byrna gun. Another one of my friends in New York got a Byrna gun. They got the Byrna SD model. That's the most popular model. So what it does is it can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. It shoots a chemical irritant projectile, so it's a very powerful deterrent, and it's legal in all 50 states. You don't have to have a background check or permit. They can ship it right to your door. And it doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. So it doesn't matter. I mean, and one of my friends is, you know, she goes back, she has to live and work in D.C. And I mean, you've seen the crime right there. She doesn't want to be a statistic and she has a license to carry, but it's like guns are banned most everywhere, but not her Byrna SD. And five round capacity, when you compare it to stun guns that are restricted to one or two shots, you definitely have an advantage. There's no recoil, easy target acquisition, so you can have a fast response in a high pressure situation. To learn more about Byrna and check out the Byrna SD, and also look at the other models that they have, accessories, all kinds of stuff, visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gen X saved America. Gen X saved America, and I'm just so happy that the latchkey kids raised on hose water saved America. Woot woot! And it is so true. We were talking about this on break because Kane's like, well, what audio, like, what are we, how are we going to, because there's so much to get into. And I'm like, no, we need to spike this football for a minute because Gen X is ignored. Gen X is put down. Gen X is ridiculed. And look what happened last night. Gen X took the election. If you break it down by age, Gen X absolutely delivered the White House. Let's break it down for a moment. Phil Klein was the first to spot this. And then you can go and you can look at the national averages. So when you look at the age brackets, 18 to 29 of the people who, I mean, when you look at the number of people who voted, how they voted, 18 to 29, 55% were blue. 30 to 44, 51% blue. When you look at 65 or older, 50% blue. 45 to 64, 53% red. And I loved this one reporter goes, this is fascinating. Any hot takes on why Gen X decided the election? Really? How do you want to answer that question? How do you want us to answer? Because we got, they wouldn't leave us alone. That's why. They wouldn't leave us alone. I mean, that's exactly why. Gen X, and I'm at the literal, yes, I know, it's still my generation. I'm at the very end of it. But it was the, wasn't Gen X like the first like divorce generation? Like the split home generation, etc. That's what it feels like. Yeah. I think so. Like latchkey kids, all that stuff.
Yeah, the first generation of both parents.
This is what I saw this. This went around on social media, and I can't. There's nothing that is so that is more true than this. It's a viral post, and it said, "I don't mess around with anyone over 42. They're built different. Their families had them formally trained in something by the time they were two. They had keys to the house by age 5. They could cook full meals at age 7, and they were pretty much self-sufficient at age 9. They left their house at dawn every summer morning, and they didn't come back until nightfall. And they survived all day on water from garden hoses. They might get a sandwich on the off chance that somebody's parents had gone shopping. They spent 3/4 of their lives by themselves with a parent maybe checking in on them twice a month. Most of them have evaded at least one kidnapping attempt. And they know 15 different ways to remove bloodstains from clothing. They're the real boop around and find out people. That's true. That is true. Gen X used to, I mean, Reality Bites was a movie that was supposed to parody Gen X. It was a movie that made fun of Gen X. Like before millennials were the victims and were picked on by every generation, it was Gen X. Gen X was picked on. Gen X was ignored by some boomers. I love you. I'm related to y'all. Okay. So please do not internalize this and take it personally and deny me my commentary. Roll with it. Because some of y'all were mean to some of us. Okay. Not you, but some of y'all in that generation. And they were mean to you too. But Gen X was raised by boomers. And then we started seeing divorce rates climb. And I mean, there's a lot that can be said for that. Gen X were kind of the ignored generation. Everybody skipped over Gen X and they went from boomers to millennials. And then from millennials to Z. And now it's alpha. And then Gen Z is mad because they feel like they haven't had enough time in the sun. Gen X never had time in the sun. Gen X was ignored. Gen X is, and that's the running joke, right? We want to be ignored. We want to be left alone. And it was the weird generation, the aspect of my generation particularly, because I had email when I was a senior in high school. It was weird, right? Like we had Wi-Fi, or not Wi-Fi, we had high-speed internet. We get DSL, right? Remember that, Kane? DSL. Man, if you got DSL in your neighborhood, you were big pimping. What? DSL. But we grew up without it. Like we didn't have it like in the late 80s and 90s. We didn't have it. So it's a really interesting, it's a very interesting generation. But they also are the ones that don't get offended. Gen X don't get offended. They just kind of shrug their shoulders and they go on with their lives. I mean, Gen X had their own issues, but Gen X were adaptable and they're resilient. And they knew how to have fun and they were irreverent. That's Gen X. So I'm not surprised that finally everybody pissed off Gen X enough where they were just like, okay, if that's it. You want it? Fine, we're voting now. And they showed up and they made the red wave happen. So maybe everyone will stop ignoring Gen X. Everyone goes from boomers to millennials and I don't know what's worse. Maybe stop ignoring Gen X because Gen X is going to save America. Gen X just saved America. There was an amazing thing to see. You know, a couple of other things that I was looking at because Gen X absolutely did deliver when you look at the demo. And I think that a lot of it, apparently, Gen X dominates X or Twitter. Did you know that? There's some analytics coming out about that showing that Gen X is really dominating that. And politically, that was a huge driver. I just felt Elon Musk's smugness all the way from all the way here in Dallas from Starbase. And rightfully so. That's pretty amazing. There's a lot of very interesting little notes here. The other thing that I wanted to point out too, because we're going to get into the left's reaction. It's not only Trump that won last night. And it's not only Republicans that won the Senate, and Republicans, I think, which will win the House. And it's not just Republicans that won against DEI. It's, you know, it's like it's people like Elon Musk that won last night. It's the thinkers that won last night. It's the doers that won last night. It's the dudes who won last night. And it's not just Gen X that won last night. Common sense people won last night. People who are wrongly jailed over J6 won last night. You know, people like Clarence Thomas won last night. The Brett Kavanaughs won last night. The Alitos won last night. Gun owners won last night. Pushback against the matriarchy won last night. Pushback against DEI won last night. All of that. People were tired of it. They were tired of it. They were tired of being pushed around. They were tired of being taken for granted. They were tired of being told that, oh, you were racist? Blank you. We're Hitler? Blank you. That was the message last night. It wasn't just a mandate. It was a middle finger to all of the people who have impugned the character of millions of innocent Americans all around this country. Those are the people. That's the message that was sent last night. You want to say that we're Nazis because we don't want dudes in our girls' bathrooms? Blank you. You want to say that we're racists because we expect people running for elected office to just demonstrate just the bare minimum of common sense and intelligence? Blank you. We're sexist because we think that, you know, you should know enough about your biology and body and how babies are made that you don't need to have an abortion all the way the hell up to the moment of birth funded by the taxpayer and used as a form of recreational birth control? Blank you. You want to call us battered women? Because we do the most feminist thing ever, which is to exercise our free will and vote for whomever the hell we want to vote for? Blank you. You want to say that we're terrorists because we speak up in our kids' school boards, our school board meetings, and we speak out in defense of our children in the classroom? Blank you. And you think we're bigots because we want to protect our girls in sports so that they're not shoved to the sidelines by dudes who are pretending to be chicks? And we're the bigots for that? Blank you. That was the message that was sent last night. It wasn't just a mandate. It was a billy club. It's the difference between the right and the left. The left pisses itself and they go out and burn down buildings. They burn up black neighborhoods. They call people racist and misogynist and sexist and ist and blah, 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 everything else. I mean, golly, the record just keeps going. One thing they don't do is vote. Because they didn't turn up last night. So while they were all out there strategizing, how are we going to riot? What are we going to do? Let's board everything up and then blame it on the right. There was a red wave that drowned y'all. Voters spoke up. And their former allies who were tired of this nonsense spoke up. That's what happened last night. I'll tell you this too. Republicans, I want you to celebrate and I want you to spike the football. In fact, I want everybody who worked to make this happen to spike the football. Because the right doesn't do that enough. And it needs to be done because people need to see the wins. This is one of the worst characteristics of the right, is that you don't spike the football. They think, oh, it's in bad taste. It's gauche. Oh, we can't spike the football. That's just bad sportsmanship. Blank you. That's the other message that was sent last night. No, spike the football. And spike it repeatedly. Just keep spiking it. spike that football and take that win. Because you earned it. And I'll add this. Republicans, you were given a mandate. And by God, you better use it. Because the hard part, half of it's over. This, all these people pushed y'all into office. But now we want what is owed to us. We want actual representation. All gas, no brakes. Slash spending. Reduce the size and the scope of government. Close that damn border. Mandate voter ID. Protect our kids in schools. Eliminate the income tax. But you got to do it fast. As I talked about yesterday with Glenn Reynolds, you have to do it fast. Do not give these bureaucratic slugs 1 second to organize to counter you. Yeah, they're going to try to sandbag you. So? Yeah, they're going to try to litigate it. So? Yeah, they're going to try to stop it. So? Yeah, they're going to talk smack to the press. So? So what? Like Auntie Nowhere League said, so what? Let them do it. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for us. You're doing it for the majority of Americans, not plurality, that voted for you. The people who got tired of seeing all this stuff, who wanted something different, who voted for you, and they invested in you. Their one vote. They invested their authority in you. My college kid drove for hours to come and invest the authority of his vote in you. People flew back home. They took off work. They did whatever they had to do to invest the authority of their vote in you. And you better deliver. Do not betray the voter. There is no excuse. There's none of this. Well, we don't have enough numbers. Do it. Oh, we don't have enough. Nope, do it. Oh, I don't know. We got to wait. Nope, do it. Get it done. No excuses. Ball up and get it done. I don't want to hear a single damn excuse from a single Republican. So help me. Get it done. This is the deal. That's the deal made with the vote. And deliver, you will. You have 4 years. You don't got a lot of time. Get it done. Do not betray the vote we invested in you. So coming up, we're going to talk about the Senate. What does this mean going forward? The state of the House. And I know you've been waiting for it. The media reaction. It's delicious. Salty. So wonderful. We're going to get into all of that and more. Kel-Tec P15, great company, Florida-based company. And we need more companies like Kel-Tec. If you haven't gotten the P15 or if you haven't checked it out, you really need to, because it's just the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm that is out there. Comes in metal frame version in the polymer version. It's a striker fire pistol. Metal frame version has a gorgeous walnut wood paneled grip. The polymer version has that gator grip texture. And it comes, both come with two standard capacity magazines. First is a 15-round mag with minimal pinky extension. The second is a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber-optic front sights, fully adjustable fiber-optic two-dot rear, and lifetime warranty. Compact, ideal for concealed carry. From Kel-Tec, the inventors of the micro-compact pistol category. Quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I can't believe Trump's actually going to win this day. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm so pissed off.
Oh, no, put him away. Oh, no. Oh, put him away. Oh, my eyes. My eyes. I need eye bleach. Oh, my gosh. I can't do it, dude. Oh. Nobody wants to see man boobies. like that. They looked sad. They were all sad. That was horrible. I just, you know, that's why the bro was invented, man, you know?
The bro.
It's a bro, dude. Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know what I just saw. It was horrible. We got more of that. There's a ton of this. They're losing their minds, and I cannot wait to show all of it. We're gonna look at some of the media reaction. It's delicious. And okay, I know yesterday I said I wasn't going to enjoy the Schadenfreude that much. It's going to surprise you, but I lied. So we got a lot coming up. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the Senate, what the Senate looks like, what we can expect, the state of the House, and a lot more. So you don't want to miss a single bit. It's the day after the election. We're all a little tired because they wouldn't call the blue wall until like 3 a.m. Stick with us. We got more in store. Our partners at Preborn, they were out there saving babies, helping women, saving babies' lives. And it's a good thing that they do what they do. Preborn is a great organization. And you can support them. You can put your money where your mouth is, and you can get out there and support them and help save lives. And that's what they do. They have clinics all around the country. They've counseled over 500,000 women who are considering abortion. And there's more than 300,000 babies that have been saved. Over 80,000 women have come to Christ. Every day, Preborn Network clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. And it is a direct competition to that Planned Parenthood industry. They're the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the United States. You know, when a woman sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears her child's heartbeat, that baby's chances at life doubles. And they don't stop there. Preborn actually partners, not just with pregnancy clinics, but these women, because they help with maternity. They help with baby clothes. They help with diapers. They help with car seats. They help with counseling. They help with much more. They meet these women where they are, and these services are provided free of charge for up to 2 years of assistance. You make that happen. You can visit preborn.com/Dana. When you sponsor $28 for one ultrasound, that's what you get. You help a woman meet her baby for the first time. $140, that sponsors 5 ultrasounds. Any donation helps. And when you sponsor monthly, you get the ultrasound pictures of babies you helped to save. All gifts tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Visit preborn.com/Dana and help save a baby and mother's life. That's preborn.com/Dana. Welcome back to the program. It's the day after the election. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of the second hour radio program. We're a little tired today, so I'm not gonna apologize for being loopy, because we are so loopy. But I would, because they wouldn't call the blue wall. Heaven forbid. They called it before 3 a.m. So welcome. You can listen coast to coast, channel 347, DirecTV, the chat's at Rumble. I know my voice is because I was doing a lot of talking last night, you know. But it's good to be with you guys, because it's a pretty good day. Looks like we're going to keep the House. We took the Senate, which I knew we would, and White House. And it was a mandate that was given. And I cannot get over the media. I think one of my favorite, and we're going to talk about the Democrats here, one of my favorite reactions was audio soundbite 4, because Jake Tapper, and he wasn't the only one, but this is just kind of the funniest. He was shocked. Harris did not outperform Biden in a single county in the country. She legitimately was the worst candidate. She's worse than Dukakis. Horrifically worse. Watch this, because Jake Tapper learns on live television that she didn't outperform Biden in any county, like anywhere. Listen.
Again, underperforming the president in places. So you asked, are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we could show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming in 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything on the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
By 3% or more.
Literally not one county? No, not one county, Jake. Not one. Not one. She was a horrific, just an absolutely horrific candidate. And I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, it was one of the worst performances I think that's ever been seen. I mean, you actually had Democrats who were trying to say, well, maybe we actually should have stayed with Biden. maybe we should have stayed with him. They're going to try to figure out whether or not they were smart to swap them. They're afraid to talk about it. They kind of touched on it. This was on NBC last night. Audio soundbite one. Listen.
Jen, has the conversation begun yet about Joe Biden and about the decision to ask him to step aside?
It will begin. It will begin depending on the outcome. Sure. And obviously, there hasn't been a race called yet. If this is not a Harris win, that will certainly be part of the discussion. It is. She's run a campaign over the course of 107 days. That is not something we've seen in history. And there'll be lots of questions about exactly that, the timing and the impact of that.
Well, Chuck was bringing up the history. I mean, in terms of vice presidents trying to win the presidency with a unpopular president, he said it's bordering on politically impossible.
And this gets.
I mean, they're feeling like maybe what they did was dumb. You think maybe? I mean, she underperformed him in literally everything. There's no way around it. She underperformed him in every single county. She lost the blue wall. By a pretty unbelievable amount. When I saw Michigan starting to go and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, there were three or seven counties in Minnesota that flipped from blue to red. I saw this piece over at Daily Mail. I think this was last night, like shortly before things got underway. And the headline was Joe Biden's lonely and lost final days in office. Netflix binges quiet tears and shunned by Kamala Harris's campaign. Did you notice when the Bidens went out to vote yesterday, Joe Biden was wearing red? I mean red. A red head-to-toe red. She was wearing a bright red dress and gold trainers. Red. They looked like the Trump shoes. I actually zoomed in to see. I was like, and I zoomed in. You cannot tell me that that wasn't a message. They are mad. He's too senile to like do anything about it anymore, but they are mad. They're super angry. And he wasn't at her watch party. He didn't go to any of that. So there's definitely some anger there, I think. Yeah, they're in red dress. She's in red pants. Yeah, red pants. Oh, she's in. There was one where I saw she was wearing gold trainers in one, but I think that she was going to an election event. But yeah, she's in. Juan showing you. She's in a red suit. She's got her little Chanel flats on. Red as the day is long. That is a choice, guys. Come on. That's a choice. You know that. She wasn't. Don't be like she was trying to do red, white, and blue. This was her sartorial choice. It was sending a message. Kane, I'm not overthinking this. I'm right, right?
No, you're right.
Dude. She's mad. She was mad. And the left does not know what they do not how to do with us. This was interesting, too. Audio soundbite three. So this was over at NBC. This is Alex Wagner over at NBC, who she's talking about what Democrats are going to actually have to kind of need to do here. And this is ultimately where this goes. Listen to this.
When it's all said and done, what you're going to see is a huge divide over people who are college educated and not college educated. And if that is the case, what is different is that you could be seeing a realignment about the base of each party. And there are warning signs for everybody here. But if the working class, non-college educated voter is now increasingly a Republican voter, Democrats have to rethink the way in which they sell their policies that absolutely benefit working class Americans and in a targeted fashion.
Well, the problem is that their policies don't benefit working class Americans. And that's what everybody was reacting to last night. But Democrats, they don't understand why they lost. You know, even James Carville was trying to warn all of these people on the left. You can't sit here and push DEI. You can't push this nonsense, do all of this stuff, and think that you're going to walk away with votes. That's not going to happen. This is not what wins people. And they weren't listening to him. They did not listen to him. And now this is where you are. You're surprised. I mean, this is how they try to rationalize it. Audio soundbite seven. So MSNBC, Joe Scarborough was going back and forth from, oh my gosh, it's a red wave, to this. Listen.
I just say, Rev, really quickly, too. Democrats need to be mature.
and they need to be honest. And they need to say, yes, there's misogyny. But it's not just misogyny from white men.
Mm-hmm.
It's misogyny from Hispanic men.
Right.
It's misogyny from black men. Things we've all been talking about, who do not want a woman leading them. Might be race issues with Hispanics. They don't want a black woman as president of the United States. You know, the Democratic Party, I've always found when you're sitting around talking, they love to just sort of balkanize everybody into these separate groups and say, oh, white people don't like women and black people. No, it is time for the Democrats to say, okay, and you and I have talked about this before, a lot of Hispanic voters have problems with black candidates.
Oh my gosh, this is really the crux of it. Also, why the hell is she wearing a scarf on television? Like, she looks, is she, I just don't, I mean, I am a gothis all day long, but like, what, that's like too many clothes. That's, I don't get it. So it's because, you know, Kane, you're half racist because you're half Hispanic. So, you know.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that part of you is a racist bigot. Juan's a racist bigot. Who knew?
Who knew?
So they went from, so now it's not, so they're mad. So now it's Hispanics are racist. Oh, please keep going with that. No, please go on. Go on with it. I want to watch this. I want to watch this play out. They will not take responsibility for it themselves. It's the voter. They're not going, oh, well, let's see. What's, could the problem possibly be us? Nope, it's blacks and Hispanics. It's the minorities. No. You can't. You can't. That's what got you into this problem, in this position in the first place. It doesn't make any sense. This was Audio Soundbite 9, one of the first honest assessments that I've heard, although it went downhill from here. But listen,
if you look at Trump's ads, Bidenomics is working. Whoever came up with Bidenomics needs to be put in the corner someplace.
No.
So then because she doesn't separate
herself.
Right.
You know why? Says, because Bidenomics, you know, doesn't work, because it didn't work and it was a dumb name, and it allowed it, what it did by, you know, the left thought that they were doing something clever, but what it allowed was, it allowed the right to immediately put in, to brand it. They immediately branded it and branded it for the worst. They took it away from the left and they were able to weaponize it. And the left couldn't deal with it. They couldn't deal. Furthermore, when everyone's broke, it's like very difficult in the first place to lie to people and say, no, you didn't pay that much at the grocery store. You know, Audio Soundbite 6, Chris Matthews. I can't believe I'm saying this. Chris Matthews, of all people, got it.
No, the Democrats have got to stop all this spending. I mean, I my wife loves to argue. She's a big Democrat. She says, you know, the economy's in great shape. I said, yeah, the more government spends money, the more it does, the more it jacks up prices. It just does.
Dude, what happened? You can't lie about that stuff. And he's saying Democrats weren't being honest with people in their messaging. And that ran voters away. And it's true. It did. I mean, absolutely did. Now, there are a couple of other things that happened as well, including in Florida. So you had Gen X that saved America. Florida, Amendments 3 and 4, the abortion and Big Weed, they both failed. I actually thought Big Weed was going to be problematic, but it wasn't, because people rightly recognize that, you know, you can't have a big foreign company come in and literally shower lawmakers with cash to buy itself not just legal immunity, but to actually literally purchase the regulatory structure through which they would dominate licensing for marijuana, and they would control all of it. That's indisputable fact, especially if you read not just what was on the ballot, but if you go in and read the Secretary of State's website at Florida government's, their whole, their website, you can go and read all the ballot proposals, the language initiatives, etc. And you really get the idea of the full scope of what they were going for. They were really trying to downplay it. And they were being investigated in other states for trying to do this. In Georgia, they're being investigated because they were literally buying people off. The husband of the CEO was convicted of it. It's crazy. They were trying to do the same thing in Florida. They were trying to, a Canadian company, write themselves into a regulatory kingmaker through law. It's wild. And they both failed. Now, for all the people who want to fight over Trump and DeSantis, which I think is so stupid, here's a thing of note. Trump was 4-3 and 3 failed, but voters in Florida understand nuance and they overwhelmingly voted Trump, showing that you can be like, you might not be right on this, but on this you're right. They understand nuance. So, you know, some of the people out there, I really feel like that's going to go unappreciated in all of this, because there were a lot of these other notable things that happened, and we're going to get into that. We're also going to get into, goodness, let's see, the blue collar workers and how Democrats have swapped out a couple of demos for a couple of other demos, and they are no longer the working party. They are done with that. So what do they become? Where do Democrats go from here? Think about it. Who do they have? What do they have? Nothing. If I was a Democrat, I would be defecating my drawers today. We're going to talk about that and more. We got a lot to hit. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, they finally called Michigan for Trump, which you knew was going to happen. It took them long enough to call blue wall states last night, staying up till 3 a.m. Central. But Michigan has been actually a crucial swing state. And wow, it's unbelievable. The blue wall has fallen again. Joe Biden won it by such a tiny margin. And Harris was leading the polling averages by only 0.5%. So Trump is now over the 300 electoral vote mark. So that just coming in. Also, we got another hurricane on the way. Storm Hurricane Rafael. Well, it becomes a Category 3 hurricane. It's nearing Cuba. It had maximum sustained winds of 115 miles per hour Wednesday. It's going to make landfall in Cuba. It could eventually approach the U.S. Gulf Coast. But we'll watch and wait and see. So we are in the R's for hurricane names. Also, Space Wars. Chinese scientists. They say they built a real-life Death Star that can wipe out enemy satellites in a terrifying breakthrough, but I just don't know if I believe it, because it's China, and they lie about so much stuff, and it's probably just like a cardboard thing. Yeah. It's wood panels. Yeah, that's probably what it is. They claim, now again, these are Chinese scientists. I don't believe any of this. They said that, yes, we did build a real-life Death Star. It's capable of devastating enemy satellites in orbit. And in order to merge, the electromagnetic pulses hit the exact same target within 170 trillionths of a second. I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. That's right. I don't believe it at all. Let's see. Also, the U.S. was testing a hypersonic nuclear missile after... That's kind of interesting. This was after election results. But it was only a test, though. I have to say, last night, by the way, this is not in my headlines. So it was super late and I was up watching, and they were waiting for them to call Pennsylvania. And they did one of those emergency EAS tests. And the screen went blue. And I was just like halfway awake. And I went, oh, what is this? This is World War III. Oh, wait, no, it's just a test. It's just a test. That's what happens when you... It was weird that it did it when they were getting ready to call Pennsylvania, and then they do this EAS test. Sorry, but it was just a weird time. Let's see. Volcanic eruption in Indonesia leaves 10 people dead. In Massachusetts, this is crazy. They're apparently doing counterfeit Botox and cosmetic injections. Why would you do... Just overdraw everything. That's it. I overdraw. Overdraw. You don't need to mess with any of that stuff. Now you know my secret. But how scary is that? Like counterfeit? What is it? Is it like, what is it that they're using? That's terrifying. Botox. Yeah, stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Back in a moment. Our partners, couldn't do it without them. Our friends, over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's in the nation. And okay, yes, they share your values, but they also want to save you money. Because let's be honest, we're all broke. We're all broke in this Obama economy. It's still the Biden economy and the Kamala economy. I'm trying to say it all. It all works. But with Patriot Mobile, you're going to save money. I have this service. I have like the Cadillac service with Patriot Mobile. I've been all over the world. I've never had an interruption of my service. I've always had great connection. I never have any issue. And even if I did have a question, they have a great US-based customer service team that makes it so easy to not just switch, but to handle any issue you may have. They also have what they call Patriot Mobile One. So you have one phone, one carrier, multiple networks. You can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities, and you can manage both personal and business lines on one singular device. And they have access to all major networks. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. But don't be fooled by the cosplayers who pretend to share your values. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana today or call 972-PATRIOT. Get your free month of service today and free activation using code Dana.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
We may not have rights tomorrow.
Y'all, I'm scared to go to sleep. I might wake up a motherfucking slave.
Oh my gosh, the Twin Peaks music.
Anyone else having a meltdown? I don't know how to do this.
Right now, I'm just not. I can't deal with this right now. I am 48 years old, and I have never experienced anything like this and never thought I would in this country. No, wait. I'm so stressed.
Oh my gosh, like they need therapy.
I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to get through the next couple days.
That guy. Okay, first off, this is why I hate filming myself anymore. Like, used to, I would do social media videos and be like, hello. Now I feel like a moron when I do it because I feel like these people. Who does that? Who sits there and is like, I'm really sad. Who does that? I'm so sad.
I know.
Who does that? Like, you're acting for your phone. What is your damage? Who dropped you on your head? Oh my gosh. I mean, it's delicious, but they filmed themselves crying. Like, that chick was legit bent over her phone bawling. She had to be holding it like this, and she's like, ugh. Like, it's paparazzi that's just peeping her, getting upset. Like, what is your... You're so stupid. Oh, but you know what? This is what happens when Democrats tell weak-minded people that they're going to put you in chains, yeah, and you're going to be slaves, and women, you're going to be denied health care, all this stuff. I'm a woman. I wasn't denied health care. I went and got a B shot before election kicked off yesterday. I got a vitamin B shot, got my allergy shot, got a vitamin B shot, you know, got my health care. Got my healthcare on. There was nobody at the door going, excuse me, lady. We are the Republican men. Got to look at our notepad here. Are you allowed to get the healthcare? Nobody did that. Nobody stopped me at the door. You know, nobody did. When I went in for my, it might be TMI. Don't care. I'm loopy today. When I went in for my well lady visit, you know, my well lady stuff, there was... There was nobody outside the door. There were no burly Republican dudes outside the door going, excuse us, lady. We can't let you get the health care. We're not able to get the health care. They actually think that, oh, I got a cold. I'm going to go rip a baby leg off. If I go rip a baby leg off, that's like plague doctor, like crazy. That's like mystic stuff. That's like what a Skeksis would do in Dark Crystal. You know, oh, you got the sniffles? One baby leg and some hot water will solve all your problems, right? Just rip off some baby appendages. That will cure all of your ills. What? Oh, I'm sick, doctor. What are you sick with? I've got the pregnants. That doesn't sound like you're sick. That sounds like you screwed someone and you got knocked up. That's what that is. It's not like an illness, you know? I mean...
Healthcare!
I got the pregnancy doctor. And they call us stupid. I bring this up because they lost their minds over Ron DeSantis and Amendment 4, the abortion thing. Where's this one at? Oh, my gosh. Audio soundbite 12. That, what's her face? What's that guy? Simple Jack from MSNBC. Simple Joy. Listen, crazy.
Yeah, and this is the reason that Republicans wanted that 60-vote threshold because, and as they tried to do in Ohio, you know, Governor DeSantis has bet his political future on being the champion of denying women their rights over their own bodies. He's competing, obviously, with the governor of Texas. He's thinking about a future in which he would like to inherit Donald Trump's evangelical, white evangelical base, and he...
So in Florida, just to recap, you guys know what the, you guys remember what the whole fight was, right? The fight was over, and I don't know what in the Ronald McDonald hell was going on with her hair, but in Florida, Amendment 4 was about taxpayer-funded abortion up legit till the moment of birth. That's why I said it was like Ralph Northman, because if you, when you read the language, it's exactly what it is. It's like Ralph Northman on steroids. It was, and it was abortions without parental consent. It went way beyond what, you know, the average Democrat polled as saying it should be allowable. And, you know, the when it comes to rape and incest in the life of the mother, they are lying to you through their teeth when they say that that doesn't exist, that protections for that don't exist. That is absolutely a lie. It is such a lie. So they're again, this comes down to what in the skeksis hell do you think healthcare actually is? Is that what these women are doing? I mean, they're like the, what is it? Like, you gotta, they believe in bloodletting probably. I mean, they probably believe in this dark age medicinal. No, we have to put, we have to bloodlet. Then we have to have an eye of newt and a baby leg. No one, that's not what this was. That's not healthcare either. It's just so, it's so dumb. But it was a huge victory because they realized. And that's what those amendments were about. It was, they thought they could do two things. So they thought that they could introduce this stuff to, they thought they could introduce this stuff to Florida, these amendments, and through them, expand, use that. Like if they can flip Florida into this, then they can go after any state. And they thought that they would play upon Florida's recent history of being a swing state, which it's definitely not now for a generation. And they gambled on that. They also gambled on using those amendments to try to seed Florida and get more Democrat voters. And they failed. It backfired on them so bad. And Florida got all their votes counted last night. What was it, by 11 o'clock? Hell, I was leaving the congressional watch party I was at, and Florida had already done counted everything. And then they started counting them again just for fun. Like, oh, we're, I guess we'll count them again. We're real bored tonight. Just go ahead. It's just so goofy. It's so goofy. You know who won? Can thou'st prepare audio soundbite 16, please? So please indulge me for 1 second. Back in the early days of social media, when the right dominated, and this was when Barack Obama was president, myself and a bunch of other Hellraisers would travel around the country, and we worked on ballot initiatives, and we went door to door. My kids were like homeschooled and raised on the road. And we did a lot of stuff. I had a lot of fun and scored a lot of wins. And at one point, I think we were in Rhode Island. I can't remember. There was a thing called Right Online that they used to have. And we used to all go to that every single year. And like Sheldon Adelson had us up in Vegas one time. We were doing Right Online stuff. It was all the conservatives coming together, and we were very effective online, which is why they had to change the algorithm. That's how all of that started. And the left got together and began having Netroots as a way to counter what the right was doing. And so we crashed one of these Netroots events. And I guess everybody was on edge anyway, because a bunch of actual indigenous Americans had just chased Elizabeth Warren from backstage because they were trying to ask her questions about her fake Cherokee history. and saw words started getting around that Marcos Melitzis, the guy who ran Daily Kos, and a bunch of these other big-time Marxists, they found out that some of us conservatives, and that's when I worked with my friend Andrew Breitbart, his website, they found out a bunch of us were there at Netroots, and they were telling everyone, don't talk to these people, don't talk to them. And I ended up seeing Sherrod Brown, and I made a beeline for him because he was one of the deciding votes for Obamacare, right? And it was about the time that Melitza saw me seeing Sherrod Brown and making a beeline for him. And so myself and Melitza were both running basically towards Sherrod Brown. At this time, Brown had no idea that I was who I was, and I was going to ask him a question. And right as I got to him, Melitza's like go-go gadgeted over to him and whispered in his ear, oh my gosh, don't talk to her. That's, you know, she's you know, that's Dana Lash. She's going to ask you a question. And I watched his B-switch flip, dude. I very politely asked Sherrod Brown, like, sir, I wanted to ask you a quick question about your healthcare vote. He looked at me, pointed his finger in my face, and it was captured on video, screamed at me, I am not going to answer a question from you. Like, I felt his spittle. He screamed in my face. So I feel really good about Audio Soundbite 16 because Bernie Moreno whooped him and took his seat last night. Behold.
No, we got a red, white, and blue wave. America won last night. We should be so proud of our country. We rejected the extremism of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and we renewed our commitment to make this country a center-right country where we work for the working people of this country. That's what this party's going to do with the leadership of President Trump, and I'm so excited to get to work.
Thank you, Ohio voters, for getting rid of Sherrod Brown and electing Bernie Moreno. That is wild. That is wild. So that was very, 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 a very good flip. And that was one of the Senate seats that ended up flipping, because that's, you know, what we're looking at here and talking about the Senate. I mean, we ended up taking three seats. So we got a 52 seat majority. Democrats lost three. We took the three in the House. Right now, we got 190 to 172. And of course, you know, the electoral vote count ended up putting up Trump Vance like over 300, and then Walz and Harris didn't even get to 250. So that was pretty amazing. And so we flipped the Senate. We're looking at more gains as well. So what does this mean with the Senate? This means, especially if we get the House, there's no excuse for Republicans not to get anything done. Oh, I want that border secured. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I want all of it to happen. I want there to be refineries built. I want all of the bureaucratic tape surrounding oil and gas just burned. Remove it entirely. I'm going to tell you what, if they end the income tax, I would wear a red hat. And you guys know I'm partial to black. I'd have to acquire one, but because I have black hats, but I'd wear the red, oddly shaped trucker one. You get rid of you eliminate the income tax and demolish the IRS. There you go. That's what it takes. And I'll put a red hat on my head. And you guys know I'm like, black's my color. I want to see him go full Javier Milei. That's what I want to see. And I think he would. He tweeted too, his Kane noted, congratulations on your formidable electoral victory. You can count on Argentina to help, you know, all this. So it's great. So if they do all of that, and I really do feel like they're going to do, I'm optimistic, especially about domestic energy production. I'm optimistic about doing stuff at the border. One of the things that we have to do and refocus on. So, and this is something that we can talk about in the weeks to come. One of my friend, Jay Christian Adams, is going to be joining us next hour, and I'm going to bring this up with him as well, because during the second, it was the second half of Trump's term after midterms, right? He switched because he ended up losing one of the branches, and he switched to make it to focus on a judicial agenda, right? And he really did help reshape the judiciary. And Democrats have been trying to thwart that. And they have been ruthlessly trying to replace and trying to combat that. Judges are super important. And they've been tightening, especially like, for instance, the Michigan Supreme Court. A bunch of Republican-backed judges did not pick up seats there, which was wild to me. I do not understand how that happened. They expanded the majority on the Michigan Supreme Court. And then when you look at some of these other circuit, appellate courts, all of that, Democrats and Republicans have been fighting with this. So that's an issue that he's immediately going to have to look at as well. But they have to move fast. And I'm going to talk about what they need to do immediately here coming up next hour. We also have Florida Man on the way. I have like tons of media reaction. We have to talk about the state of the House still. So there's a lot of stuff that we still have to cover.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Boy, do I have a couple of crazy ones today. So a Florida man in Jacksonville, Emmanuel Jones, was arrested because he punched a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office horse after the Georgia-Florida game on Saturday, according to JSO. They said that the game attendees were exiting the stadium about 8:30 p.m. and the police were telling people to use the sidewalk, stay out of the road, things like that. And they said Jones walked past the line in between four police horses. An officer saw Jones get close to the animal, and then he saw the horse's head suddenly jerk up and to the right. Officers grabbed a hold of Jones, who was still shadow boxing and swinging his arms around. One of the officers struck him in the face, and the suspect was forced to the ground. He punched the horse in the head. The horse is okay, but oh my gosh, what a jerk. Man, I'd swing you around by your head. I'd beat you to death. Punch a sweet little horse just there doing his job. What's the matter with you? I don't know. I just like, it's like, what are you're asking for? You know, you can't, it's like kicking a police dog. You can't do that stuff. Like, you shouldn't do it to a normal animal anyway, but especially if it's a police animal, that's like assaulting an officer. I mean, it carries the same penalty. So that's so goofy. A Florida man in a golf cart tried to escape with a stolen television. Why do these people do this? And how fast can golf carts go, Kane? That's it?
Yeah, not too bad.
So, a 60-year-old man named Ronald Spiker. I mean, normal elderly people like do bingo, excuse me, as a hobby, or maybe they'll golf more. This guy decided to break into a farm trailer and stole a television. And it wasn't a flat screen, it was an old television. And he tried to get away for it in his golf cart. So he was rolling through the neighborhood with a stolen television bouncing around in his golf cart. And, the Polk County deputies responded, and they had it was very easy for them to spot him because it was a golf cart with a stolen television in it. And apparently, by the way, the guy also was on meth and had meth on him, including the stolen television. So he had, I mean, meth and theft, it's like the same. They arrested him, and he got an additional charge. And so apparently he's in Polk County Jail, and he's been in Polk County Jail before, too. So it's he knows it pretty well. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store, more to come. The Dana Show, third hour on the way.
I'm surprised at the result, but I'm not surprised. As a woman of color, I was so hopeful that a mixed-race woman married to a Jewish guy could be elected president of this country. Uh-huh. And I think that it had nothing to do with policy. I think this was a referendum of cultural resentment in this country.
And that's why you lose. Because you can't understand the fact that she doesn't, it absolutely was about policy, her absence of it, that has nothing to do with cultural resentment. And if you are constantly going to handicap yourself in a way where you immediately default to claiming that a deficiency on any kind of policy matter is nothing more than cultural resentment as a way to excuse the responsibility you have of stepping up, being better, and meeting the need, then that's on you. That's not on the voter. That's on you. Shame on you. You're the bigot for constantly defaulting back to, well, it must be racism. I mean, you know, she was completely clueless on policy. She had no policy. She literally stole Joe Biden's policy. It was in the metadata when they copied and pasted it for her website. She had nothing. She avoided the press. And then you're going to go out and blame the average voter? What when I see this kind of, and it's not even analysis, when I see this excuse over and over again, These people do not know how to solve these policy issues. And they get behind people who also do not know how to solve policy issues. All these people do is try to inflame and enrage and engage on cultural entitlements and other shallow, miles wide, inch deep stuff. And then they wonder why they lose. You know, you can sit here and go, I would like to have, you know, a mixed race woman. Bitch, I paid $5 for a gallon of milk. Come on. Done with it. No one cares. You can't sit here and simultaneously say, well, it's 2024 and we need to get around race, while also going, it's 2024. Why didn't we have a woman of color? Shut up. How about this? How about you stop putting up bad women candidates? It's not that people are opposed to women. People are opposed to bad candidates. And unfortunately, you guys think that a vagina can just solve all the bad candidate problems. Yes, they're deficient in everything else, but vagina. They think that men and they think that men have beer goggles on. They Democrats expect men to vote through beer goggles. That's what this is. They thought this was beer goggles 24, and it wasn't. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. That's exactly what this was. I get so aggravated when I hear this stuff. It had nothing to do with race. Get over yourself. It had nothing to do with that. She was a bad candidate. And if you can't see that, you do not need to be involved in analysis. If you cannot correctly articulate the reason why you lost and you want to blame it on everything else, you're not good enough to contribute to the, you know, the day after. What am I thinking of? Yeah, it's like not a forensics report. What am I thinking of? When they autopsy. That's what I'm talking about. If you can't accurately articulate why it is that you lost, if you can't recognize that, you have no business then authoring the autopsy. You have no business. And that's what this was. And they're mad. They're mad because Kamala Harris's loss was the epitaph on the tombstone of legacy media. It absolutely was. Think about it. One of the analytics that I saw showed that people in Gen X they did most of their engagement. It wasn't with Legacy Press. It was on X. Isn't that wild? People aren't going to the major networks for fact checks. They're not going to I don't go to the major networks for my news. I don't even watch television, really. There are several shows that I watch. Sometimes if there's breaking news, I'll have like C-SPAN or I'll maybe put Fox on and look at the bottom, you know, third, and that's it. It's usually pretty low. And we're not a big TV household. Never have been. I love Mayor of Kingstown. I like watching that. I like watching Tulsa King. Basically, if Taylor Sheridan wrote it, I like it. And I like watching the baking stuff and anything about Renaissance history and anything like, medieval, any of that kind of historical stuff. I love watching documentaries and that, and that's it. But I don't do television. You don't even watch television, do you, Kane? You don't like it. Like our parents used to keep the news on. Like, do you remember when you'd be home from school and you'd have couple of hours to do your homework, and then you could hear the intro music for the nightly news, and that's when you knew the dinner was going to start any second, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Like you knew it. Like I can smell them taters frying right now. I would hear. Like the whatever, and I can't remember what my mom had it on, but she would watch the news, and the news would be on in the background, and whenever the intro music, it was to the 6 p.m. news, wasn't it? Like it was like 5 and 6.
Yeah, we'd have the local, then the national,
and then Entertainment Tonight would come on after that.
Yep, that's
so
true.
She'd watch KMOV because Larry Connors and Julius Hunter were always on, Connors I know that. Now, and it's amazing. I grew up with them anchoring. And I remember it was KMOV Channel 4 in St. Louis, the CBS affiliate. And I would hear that intro music come on. That's a local news. And then you would have the national news. And I'm like, oh, dinner. It's going to be dinner time. You knew it. It's going to be dinner time at some moment. So people get I don't do that. That's not how my house works. Sometimes we'll have music on, or sometimes we'll have just something on low volume just so I can look at the lower third. And that's it. Everybody gets their stuff from online. I get all of my stuff from online. I don't have a news. I don't get a newspaper. They send, you know how sometimes they'll send you a complimentary paper to the house hoping that they can get a subscription. I'm like, the hell do I do with this? What do I do? You don't want to touch it because it's nasty. And then you get like that newsprint all over your hands. I don't know, man. Those gone are those days. It's very different. And legacy media doesn't want to let it go. Not because they are afraid of the transition, because they don't want to let go of the power that they had. And they think that by trying to fight against digital and fight the people who are expanding digital, that they can keep that control. But you actually just empower the people you're fighting against. It's pretty amazing. Kamala Harris called President-elect Trump to congratulate him on winning the election, according to a senior aide who told NBC News that she did concede. She's speaking tonight. What is it, 5?
Six Eastern,
5 Central. So she.
Did they?
Are you going to watch it?
Depends.
I don't know. Meh. I'm kind of like, meh. Maybe I'll watch it. I don't know. I think that it's a resounding. I was looking at these demos from 2020. Women, men, non-college, Hispanic, Black, and young Americans. Trump actually made gains in every single one of those demographics building from 2020. So he added, and this is from, let me open this, pardon me. I'm like looking at a million things today because I want to make sure you get the like up-to-date, you know, all of that, the most up-to-date stuff. This is from, I can't remember what, this is 2020. Okay, so this is looking at, this is just looking at some of the RCP averages for it. And so his gains, +2 for women, +3 for men, non-college voters was +6, meaning these are all increases. Hispanic voters, +6. Black voters, +7. Young voters, +10. Wow. That's pretty amazing.
So everybody's racist and sexist?
Everybody's racist. Wait, if you're a black voter and you voted for Trump, are you a racist? I don't know.
That's what they say.
This was, a friend of mine tweeted this. Kamala Harris didn't care enough about black people to show up and give a concession speech when they'd all gathered at Howard, her HBCU alma mater. She gave them what Democrats have been giving them for decades. Nothing. Oh, oh, I'm telling you what, that is something. That's harsh. And it's true. I mean, what happens to Democrats after this? I don't know where their party goes. I know where Republicans go. Republicans have a lot of choices. The hardest thing that Republicans are going to have to do is maintain that coalition going forward. I was talking about this with Jesse Kelly last night. Maintaining the coalition going forward will be, and I mean, I know, I act like, oh, it sounds like, you know, first world problems compared to what Democrats have to deal with. Seriously, think about this, Rena. What are Democrats going to do? They have been rejected. They're blaming Biden for their loss. In fact, this is the Politico piece that's out right now. They're absolutely blaming Biden. And it's rough. They're blaming him. They're saying Harris refused to make a clean break from the last 4 years. This is out. This came out this morning. And they're saying that Biden got out too late. So they are blaming Biden. I don't care who they blame. They're all at fault. They're all at fault. They went, and let me be real honest for a moment. Trump was a divisive figure even amongst the right. But the right, I think, correctly tweaked their perspective. The people who had issues, even after 2020, you have to look at these politicians as vessels for your agenda. They are pieces on the chessboard. You are in control. You have to help decide where they go. And I think that there were enough people on the right that thought, you know what? That's the way I need to be looking at this. What is the best way with, if I have imperfect tools, what is the best tool that I can use to advance my agenda? That is the way that you have to look at this. Even if you love the candidate, you have to be very clinical in how you approach advancing your agenda, policy, and culturally. And voters understood that, and they also understood that butter was $6. They understood that their grocery bill had tripled. How dare you, wealthy, bitchy elitists sitting up at The View, how dare you just completely coddled talking heads over at MSNBC, people who want for nothing, judge these people who voted the way they did because they were broke, groceries are unaffordable, college is unattainable, healthcare is ridiculous. They voted to benefit their children, their families, their bottom line. And you coddled bitches have the audacity to say these people are racists and Nazis and bigots and sexists. There isn't strong enough language I could use. I'm only limited by the FCC right now. The people who do that, those talking heads, you are exactly what is wrong with this country. You are a plague in this culture. You are a disease. You offer nothing. You contribute nothing. You are an anchor on our progress. You are not a check. You are not a balance. You are a nuisance. You make other Americans ashamed because of your behavior. And you won't learn. You refuse to learn. You didn't learn after the Tea Party when you called everybody bigots. You didn't learn after 2016 when you called everybody bigots. You didn't learn in 2020 when you called everybody bigots. But now maybe you'll learn. You can't call people Hitler and win an election when they're trying to pay their bills. Shame on you people. That's the thing. It is the epitaph on the tombstone of these people's relevancy. Done with it. So, you know what? Spike that football. No quarter. No mercy. No break. All gas. He needs to go in. Republicans need to go in and you cut everything. You chuck everything that ain't nailed down. You do it before they can mobilize and work against you. Deliver for the American people. And Harris and Biden, Democrats, you wanted a civil war. Well, you got one, except it's in your own party. Enjoy. We have more to come.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So some of the other stuff, we got to get some of the weird stuff back in there. So apparently we talked a little bit about this yesterday. There are some unexpected home gadgets that are spying on you and sending your data back to China, like your air fryer. Well, I hope my air fryer can tell Xi Jinping how much I hate him and how much I hate the CCP. I'm going to whisper that to my air fryer now every time I use it. No, for real, I don't know like how or what, but I'm just now going to start smack talking the CCP around all of my home gadgets. I'll look crazy, but my message will get sent. Remember, this had to do with, we were talking about this with some of the, you know, security features and telecoms and all that yesterday, but apparently like your video doorbell, air fryer, smart devices. You got to pay attention to where this stuff is made. And I mean, I already go above and beyond, but now I'm going to get even more ridiculous about it. So let's see. This is what I wanted. This was in New Zealand. I can't do their accent. It's very tough. Apparently, they're having they wave goodbye to their disturbing giant hand sculpture that divided the community. It was a 6 foot tall hand, and it did look weird. It was made of resin and a bunch of other stuff. We don't have a lot of time, but they were mad at it. Stick with us. Jay Christian next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're on not a lot of sleep because they wouldn't call a single blue wall state till like 3 a.m. So we're up and we're like, barely staying awake. And Julio Rosas is out there tweeting, don't go to sleep, stay awake. And he was texting. And a friend of mine, a couple of all my press people that are like-minded were texting, like, stay awake, just stay awake until they can call Pennsylvania. And I'm like, it's 3 a.m. We got to go to bed. Like, Florida's already recounting their ballots for fun. Like, this is, like, they've already got everything done. So we're a little loopy today, but in great spirits. And they just now decided, well, we'll go ahead and call Michigan for President-elect Trump. We'll go. We knew that at 10 o'clock last night. What are you talking about? I'm so glad that we have my friend on next with us, J. Christian Adams, who is a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, author of Injustice, election lawyer. He's with the PIL Foundation, PJ Media, Election Law Center, CTR is who he is on X. And he joins us now via Skype. He's been in Michigan observing the polls and upholding the integrity. My good friend, how are you today? Congratulations, because I know that you put a lot of hard work into this, too.
Yeah, thanks, Dana. We're all loopy, aren't we? That's because the mail ballots, it's mail balloting that kept us up late.
Why does it take that long? I mean, you know, the election happens every general election every 4 years. We know how this goes. It's only like it seems like this is a recent phenomenon that it started taking this long to count ballots.
It's all because of the mail shift with COVID. Remember, Florida gets their count in by 9 or 10 o'clock, all of it, because they don't have an election done by the post office. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada is 100% mail. That's why it's the last one that's going to be called. And it's mail ballots that are keeping us up till dawn. That's the single biggest reason.
But ultimately, I feel like it's just a formality at this point, because he's got enough banked with votes that this is just icing on the cake. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. One of the things interesting about Michigan is Jocelyn Benson is the Secretary of State there. Radical progressive, like the most progressive Secretary of State in the country. She is not doing a very good job, even though she says the elections are perfect. And that's one of the reasons it just got called.
That's wild. Yeah, I was looking at this. I saw the headline come up and I'm like, they really just now they're calling this. So is there, I mean, it looks like, and I was looking at the turnout was kind of comparable to 2020. Democrats didn't turn out. So they can't say that anything was stolen, because you didn't even turn out to, you know, even if you thought that there was going to be any kind of fraud or any kind of shenanigans, they didn't turn out to pack those margins. So this is their shortcoming.
So I was, and a lot of lawyers from Public Interest Legal Foundation were actually monitoring elections yesterday. I was there 3 days, no sleep right now, almost, in Hamtramck, Detroit. We were watching it. And there were times in some of these hardcore Democrat precincts where there were like no voters. These were precincts with thousands of registered voters. And you would sit there for 15 minutes at a time, and it'd be like listening to a faucet drip in the middle of the night. There's a noise. There just weren't the number of voters. Now, other times was crowded, but there shouldn't have been lulls like we were watching yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was all the people on the lines that we saw, they were all Republicans in these areas. Talking with our friend J. Christian Adams, Election Law Center on X. And I what did you see in Michigan? Because Michigan, I got to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised, because I thought that maybe Trump would pick away one of those blue wall states. I thought maybe it would be Wisconsin or Pennsylvania. Michigan was a nice surprise. That he went through it like the Kool-Aid man with all three was a very nice surprise. Were you shocked, because you were there on the ground? Is that something that surprised you when you saw that turnout?
Yeah, and I saw some really interesting things. I've been monitoring elections since I was at the Justice Department 2 decades ago. And in Michigan, we were in hardcore Democrat precincts in a lot of places. Something interesting happened. There were, you know, the usual machine politics of union people were out in pickets around the entrances to, like, you know, tell everybody what to do, like they always do. And we saw some things were fascinating. African-American women coming in to vote, Hispanic men coming in to vote, running the gauntlet of these pickets. And in, you know, the previous 19 years of me monitoring elections, they would have just been managed through by the handlers and voted.
Wow.
I saw resistance yesterday. I was stunned. There were African-American women sometimes like, don't tell me who to vote for. And then the handlers would invoke the race card, like, well, you're not going to vote for blah, blah, blah. And they were like, leave me alone. Get away from me. And I'd never seen that in urban precincts before. It's the very first time I'd ever seen it.
Wow, that is amazing. That's, I mean, and we play that one video of a black Republican woman. I know that's very important to progressives to, you know, check all those boxes, who was getting lectured by some like former government worker, this just, you know, white Marxist who was lecturing her because she just happened to overhear their conversation at their table at a restaurant, and they were talking about supporting Trump, and the woman was like, oh no, like she felt like she had to intervene. I really think that that approach that Democrats had, that did a lot to light the fire under some of the turnout that we saw. I mean, doubling your gains with Hispanic voters, the increased turnout with Black American voters, that's pretty stunning. And there hasn't been a Republican, I don't know of an election where Republicans have done that in my lifetime.
Right. And remember 20 years ago, the Bush logic was we have to have open borders to get the Hispanic vote. Remember that? It was like, oh, if we're tough on immigration, then we'll lose Hispanics. Guess what? 20 years later, it's proved to be exactly the opposite.
Yeah. I kept thinking of, and someone had reminded me of this, Reagan said, well, Hispanic voters are Republicans. They just don't know it yet. Well, I think in 2024, they know it now.
Yeah, for sure. And all sorts of fascinating things are taking place with white elite liberals. You talked about them in an earlier segment, telling us what to think, what to do. Apparently, women realize that they buy groceries more than they have abortions. You know, whole sort of things were going on in the election yesterday that I think the elites, I mean, really, truly, the creepy, slimy arrogance that I had to watch on MSNBC in the last 24 hours in Hollywood, John Cusack, all of these nutcases who are so out of touch, but they think they can dictate to us.
Yeah, they have never once spoken about how it is that butter is $6 or milk is so expensive or eggs are so expensive and your grocery bills doubled and tripled. I mean, we're going into Christmas, you know, holiday season, and the retail is already like just stealing themselves to take a hit because of inflation. They're not speaking to any of that. So it's like, how did they expect their messaging to resonate?
And on top of all those bread and butter issues, there were those wonderfully powerful ads that Trump had about trans issues she's for they, them. I don't know if you saw them on NFL and the World Series. These things were devastating. I mean, these are the best political ads I've ever seen. And so you start piling on these issues on top of each other. And I guess we should have seen this coming, shouldn't we? I was stunned, frankly, that it went like this.
This is one of the most, I think this is going to be one of the most studied elections and political comebacks in political history, because Trump, and I know that there's some, you know, people on the right, I look at politicians as vessels to advance my agenda, you know, and I want the best equipped vessel to win. That's how I've always looked at it. No matter how much I love or question a candidate, you know, I was choking to death with Mitt Romney in 2012. I think a lot of people were, you know, you got to go and you got to do what you got to do. But with this, he had coattails this election, unlike what I have seen like in 2016. I think it was in 2016 because he was still kind of viewed by the electorate as an unknown. But this, I mean, Bernie Moreno taking over Sherrod Brown's seat in Ohio, I didn't think that was going to happen. Some of these other senatorial seats, I mean, this was stunning.
Yeah, let me see your coattails and raise you one. There was a radical Marxist on the North Carolina Supreme Court named Allison Riggs. No one's heard of her. I'm sorry to bring her up.
I just read about her literally an hour ago.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I didn't
know that. But not till an hour ago. I didn't know about her until an hour ago.
Yeah. Wacko. I've litigated against her. She's a hardcore Marxist who was on her way to the federal courts. She was going to be picked by President Harris to be on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals and maybe eventually the Supreme Court. She lost yesterday. An incumbent Supreme Court justice lost yesterday. That's almost unheard of, but it was the coattails of Donald Trump that got a radical Marxist thrown to the curb on her career path away from the U.S. Supreme Court.
And that was the other thing, talking to our friend Jay Christian Adams, that was the other thing I was watching as well, because for the second half of Trump's term, he kind of shifted towards a judicial agenda. And I wanted to make sure that the integrity of that, all of that was protected and that we didn't lose those gains. Because a lot of people, I feel like they don't pay as much attention to like some of the judges on the ballot when they go in, which they should. And I think now they're understanding, especially with all these Soros DAs and the injustice that they've been seeing. But I know that Democrats have been trying to claw a lot of that ground back. His victory, what does that mean looking, when you're shaping the judiciary and you're looking at restorative justice and you're looking at like overhauling the FBI, what do you foresee this becoming now that he's president-elect?
Yeah, it's giant. I mean, look, 52 votes in the Senate, you're going to have a crop of both executive branch nominees, but for my purposes, more importantly, federal judges who are going to be better than the last round of Trump judges, in my view, because they can sail through the Senate. You can have hardcore people, and I can start listing names one day, that could survive a Senate nomination process that never could before. And it's really going to fundamentally transform the judiciary toward constitutional principles. And I am so thrilled about it. That's, for me, the best part of this win.
Getting rid of the lawlessness and disorder is, I mean, I'm genuinely, I think the feeling that I have is joy right now. I've been like so like for the past 4 years. So it's weird to feel the warm fuzzies. That's the joy that this brings. We have to have you back on as we go forward in that, because you know it's going to come and it's going to be a fun journey in the Senate, but it's good to have control of that back. You've done such great work. I so appreciate with you. I agree with you on Jonah too. I saw your tweet I favorited it. So Jay Christian and I go way back, but it's so good to see you, my friend. And God bless you. I appreciate what you do. Thank you. We'll
love
have you back.
Dana. Take care.
Of course.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So in the days to come, we'll talk about what it looks like, how we're gonna tackle these big issues that need solving. And we're going to get the plan for that, and we're going to hold Republicans accountable, because there's no excuse this time. You got the House, you got the Senate, there ain't no excuse. No excuse. Everything that didn't get done the first time around, it better get done this time, and more. I think you deserve to exhale, take a beat. Now, I'm not saying like stop and just go away from the news and don't pay attention. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think that you can worry less now. I really do. And I don't tell people that normally. I don't tell them to worry, but I don't tell them to not worry usually. But I think that you actually can now, for now. But remember, one of the beautiful things about how we run our republic is that vigilance is constant. It is a privilege, and it's a right, and it is eternal. And it's something that you have to do. And then you pass that vigilance off to the next generation, who passes that vigilance off to the next generation, and so on and so forth. And it is one of the great things. You would rather have too much liberty to attend to than too little, as Jefferson said. So revel in the fact that you can actually have that kind of impact. This is what happens when you work hard. This was what hard work did. And there are so many people who did so many things. 3 and 4 in Florida. God love you Floridians for stopping that nightmare, because now they're not going to be able to replicate that in other states. They got smacked. And that's exactly what they were going to do. In Ohio, thank you for doing what you did. Pennsylvania, Scott Pressler, God love you. Thank you guys for doing what you did. All of the voters in the RGV Valley, God love you people for flipping that nasty narrative back on Democrats and saying, no. We want opportunity. We want freedom. We want to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We're not taking this poison you're offering us and our families and flipping that back on them. You deserve to exhale, celebrate a little bit, and relax, and have fun with it, and enjoy the salty tears. Spike the football. It is not gauche. It is not in poor taste. You need to be seen spiking the football, because other people need to see what victory looks like and what it brings you. That's important for the next generation to see. Republicans used to not do that, and that bothered me so bad, because people need to see what celebration looks like and what victory brings. So spike the heck out of that football and give thanks, because there were a lot of people saying a lot of prayers. Those were answered. So you give due and you say thanks for those. Thanks for the victories that were won. Texas stays red. Looks like we're going to do a full sweep. Not since 88, I think, have a victory like this been seen. So these are all really good. And a lot of things are going to change, and they need to change quick. And we're going to dive into all of that. And that's what the days to come are for. In the meantime, today in Stupidity King.
Amen, amen. All right, Juan, this is cut 11. This is David Axelrod here. Now, this is what we saw with media last night. It couldn't possibly be that people rejected Kamala's policies. They have to be racist or sexist or bigoted in some way. This is the left's response. Listen to what David Axelrod says.
Let's be honest about this, okay? Let's be absolutely blunt about it. There were appeals to racism in this campaign, and there is racial bias in this country, and there is sexism in this country. And anybody who thinks that that did not in any way impact on the outcome of this race is wrong.
This was before Scarborough this morning
said
that.
Stop impugning
Latinos
these people.
Latinos and blacks are all sexist and racist.
So that's what happens. You get good Democrats, good people that voted for that party, and then they finally change their mind, and you immediately get called every name in the book. Yeah. That's what happens every single time. They did it to them after Hillary Clinton. Unbelievable.
Stupid.
It's a dawn in America. New morning. And you earn the victory. We still have a lot of stuff to hit. And hey, 2 years, there's a midterm. Buckle up always, folks. God bless. I'll be back with you tomorrow.